Let's pray. Father, please quiet me and speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My wife can testify to this. I wrote my sermon a couple of weeks before we went to Brazil. I brought it with me to Brazil, brought this notebook to Brazil, and practiced the sermon every single day before she got up after having three cups of coffee. But I need your help. Just like I like to produce artwork for my sermons to hopefully give you something to focus on for the sermon so that you can leave this place remembering what the sermon was about, hopefully. I need your help today. So in Scripture, we read many things about what love is not. Who can give me some examples or maybe a definition of what love is? Feel free to just shout it out. Patience. Being kind. Unconditional. What was that? Okay, very good. Okay, I'm going to give you a cut. You did a great job, and I'm going to ask for your help, further help a little as time goes on. But I want to start with a couple of stories. The first story, sorry, Alyssa, is about our children when they were younger, and I call this the story of the empty leash. And Lynn and I, when we got married, we both brought an animal into the marriage. Lynn brought a Cocker Spaniel. I brought an ancient Pekingese, a tiny little Pekingese. Unfortunately, the Cocker Spaniel only lived with us a couple of years, died very peacefully in its sleep when it was only about 5 years old. But the Pekingese seemed to last forever. I think our Pekingese was about 18 years old when finally I told the children, we had a family meeting, and I told the children, I need to take our Pekingese to the vet, and you need to know ahead of time that the vet may be able to help our dog, because our dog was having trouble using its back legs. It just kind of dragged itself through the house. And I said, but you also need to know that the vet may decide to put the dog down. And of course, our children said, what does that mean? And I said, well, they give it a shot so it peacefully goes to sleep and doesn't wake up. So I went to the vet and pretty much knew that he would probably recommend that the dog be put down, and he did. So Yin peacefully passed away. And I came back home, and I brought the empty leash. And I still remember walking in the back door, and our daughter, who maybe was, I don't know, maybe 11 at the time, ran to the back door, looked at me, looked at the empty leash, immediately started crying, and ran up to our room, or up to her bedroom. Our son, who has a completely different personality, did not run to the back door because Jared never runs. He slides through the house. So he ran to the back door and slid, looked at me, looked at the empty leash, got a big smile on his face and said, Dad, can we get a cat? Another story I would like to talk to you about is the story of the Slurpee in the animal shelter, and I'm going to tell this story in two parts. The first part is Jared, as I have told you, played soccer from about the time he was four, probably through high school. I was his coach and then stepped down to be assistant coach once the team went up to the premier level. But I still remember we would go up to Crowley Park, which is off Telegraph, and what is that crossroad? Oxford, thank you. Thank you. There's a 7-Eleven there. After the game, we would always drive to the 7-Eleven and grab a Slurpee, because during the summer, after being out in the hot sun, something cold really sounded good. So we did our traditional stopping at the 7-Eleven and grabbed a Slurpee. And I still remember looking across the street, across Telegraph by Oxford, there's a pet store, and there's an empty store on the corner. And at the empty store, the pet store had advertised that there was a free animal show. So I told the family, I said, hey, a free animal show, let's take our Slurpees and walk across Telegraph and go to this free animal show. What I didn't know is that this show was put on by the Humane Society, by the Dearborn Humane Society, the animal shelter. So as we walked into the building, immediately a lady took this teeny tiny little kitten, this butterscotch and white kitten, and stuck it on Jared's shoulder. And because the cat didn't want to, you know, slip off and fall down and hurt himself, immediately took his little claws and embedded them in Jared's jersey. And I still remember the lady saying, oh, little boy, look at how much this kitty loves you. So I will leave the story there and come back to it. So now I need your help again. Give me some examples of things that you love. And I'll give you an example right off the bat. I love strong black coffee. What's something you love? Chocolate, especially dark chocolate. Love it. Peppermint ice cream, was it? Okay. What else? What was it? Okay, blue cheese. Anything else? Fishing, loves fishing. Go ahead. Especially during winter. Yeah, I know we left temperatures of about 85 degrees, 90 degrees, but it was so refreshing coming back to Michigan and having some nice sunny weather. No, honestly, it was. Would have been nice to stay in Brazil, but I had to preach today, so I came back. Okay, so thank you for participating in that. And why do you love these things? That's my final question. Why do you love these things? Okay. It's satisfying. Anybody else? Okay, I wrote down a few examples here. They may give you a feeling of pleasure. They may make you proud. And they many times give you a reciprocal response to the amount of time, effort, and talents you put into it. Now, for one of my seminary classes, and I'm currently working on an additional master's degree in mission and outreach, I bought this book before the class and had read it, but by rereading it, you know how you sometimes get something extra out of rereading a book? This is by Henry Nouwen, who is a Catholic priest, theologian, and writer. And it's called In the Name of Jesus. It's a very quick, easy book to read. I recommend it to everybody. And it's basically about reflections on Christian leadership. And you probably noticed today in the prayers and various times I've talked about the first love. Henry Nouwen talks about the first love and the second love, and I'd like to start with the second love and read you what he wrote about it. The love that often leaves us doubtful, frustrated, angry, and resentful is the second love. That is to say, the reflection, affection, sympathy, encouragement, and support we receive from our parents, teachers, spouses, and friends. We all know how limited, broken, and very fragile that love is. Behind the many expressions of this second love, there is always a chance of rejection, withdrawal, punishment, blackmail, violence, and even hatred. Some pretty strong words there. When I think of the second love, that would be represented by this box full of chocolates that I have hanging up here, a representation of. And by the way, Valentine's Day is coming up. You can always ask Wendy to unlock my office if you want to leave some dark chocolate in there. But I always think of this this representation as the second love, kind of the love that the world teaches us what love is. And I know in my adult class, we've been touching on this the last few weeks. We've been talking about a love that you give to people expecting something back, a reciprocal love. I do something nice for you, I expect you to do something nice for me, or at least to thank me. So that's the world's love. So to figure out our first love, and that's represented by the three nails on this side, you need to do what motivational speaker Simon Sinek calls finding your why. And by finding your why, he talks about finding your purpose, your cause, your reason to act. So we all need to ask ourselves, why do we love? Do we love expecting to receive something back, or do we love purely as a gift to somebody else? Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. So let me finish the story of Jared and the kitten. That little kitten was stuck on his shirt, and I still remember, as a matter of fact, Lynn and I talked about this in Brazil with our host who was showing us around. I still remember Jared, after this little kitten was stuck on his shoulder, him looking at me and going, "Dad, can I get a kitten?" And I said, "Sure." And then I looked over at Lynn and I thought, whoops, that was one of those things that we really didn't talk about. Actually, Lynn loves that cat. And our cat's about how old now? 16 years old. Wonderful cat. But I remember speaking to Jared afterwards, asking him why did he want that cat. And of course, our daughter came up with all of these beautiful names for the cat. Butterscotch because of the coloring, and she came up with a number of different names. But I remember asking Jared, what do you want to name the cat, and why did you want this cat? And he goes, I want to name the cat Lucky. We thought, that's kind of a strange name. And I said, why do you want to name him Lucky? And he said, this cat is very lucky, because if we did not adopt him, I know what happens to excess animals. If they can't send them out with people, they put them to sleep. So Jared really showed me that first love, in that this cat was not going to do any, you know, any of you who have cats know that cats, unlike dogs, are pretty independent creatures. You know, they're not, they don't show affection. Like a dog will always usually run to you when you come home. Our cat, when people comes over, hides in one of our closets instead of running. So Jared showed this unconditional love that is represented by the nails on your right. Now, God is the ultimate model for this first love, this unconditional love. And I've got some Bible verses I'd like to read to you. The first one is from 1 John, and it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. And from Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. In John 13, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the theological term for that is sanctified. I know many times in church talk you will hear about being sanctified. And that simply is becoming more and more like Jesus as we go through life. We talked about this a little in our adult class this morning. As we go through life, we will never stop sinning, but we need to become more and more like Christ, sinning less and less. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds so you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. From Romans 5, but God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, we were dead in sin. Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, our sins have been wiped clean. We will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were made righteous to God. Through the death of his Son, much more surely have been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And I know in the adult class a couple weeks ago, we reread the story of the prodigal son. And in this story, not only does it show that God removes our sins, that he takes our sins, but he also gives us something. He gives us righteousness through his Son, or we are made right with God. In Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, not giving us what we do deserve, which is eternal damnation, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, makes us alive again with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And we also talked about this in our adult class, that besides God not giving us what we do deserve, eternal damnation, he gives us something that we don't deserve, and that is eternal life. And then finally, a nice short verse from 1 John 4. We love because he first loved us. And that's what the first love is about. Loving people who we don't expect anything back from. Now, as Christians, I firmly believe that it is important for us to have accountability partners, to have somebody we can share our deepest thoughts with, maybe a friend, a colleague, a mentor, and to be able to monitor us and make us sure that we are not falling into this worldly trap of the second love, of loving because we expect something back, but instead going to the first love, loving simply because Christ loved us first while we were dead in sin. So we need to be careful when we evaluate church ministries or programs or worship styles. Many times we do this saying, you know, what will we get back? Will it raise revenue? Will it increase the size of our congregation? You know, those things are important, but even more important is loving those who will give us nothing back. As followers of Christ, we need to reflect God's undeserved, unreserved, and unconditional love. We must all remember that God loves us so much that through his Son, Jesus Christ, he reached down, and while we were dead in sin, what can dead people do? Nothing. Okay? So while we were dead in sin, God reached down and claimed us and freely gave us the gift of eternal life to all who profess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Jesus justified us and reconciled us to God. We love because he first loved us. May it be so. Amen.